This Friday, we had our men's meeting, and it was one of the more significant meetings that we've had in our 15 years together as a church family. It's been a great 15 years, and it's been many important milestones. But Friday night was a very important milestone because, as a church that's been together for 15 years, you do sometimes get into a rut. You know, when you start a church, everything is new, and you start a family integrated church, everyone's like, "What is that?" Right? And so there's a lot of kind of practical teaching that fits, like, "Oh yeah, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're doing it." And there's a lot of practical discussions and things. And then, because it's different and it's new, and then you kind of get it. You kind of, "Oh, okay," and it just becomes kind of normal, and it kind of becomes part of who you are, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a mark of maturity. It's not like we should just keep talking about family integration, because there are other issues to talk about and other things to talk about in the Bible, right? Like the whole counsel of God. And so those are growth stages. But as things get kind of normalized, they also can get normal. And as they get normal, they can become kind of rutted in. And this is what we do. We gather together. We have our prayer time. Bill Dale starts us out in prayer. Bill's not here. Nobody can pray. You know, it's just kind of, you know, they sit here, we sit there. It just, things just kind of go that direction, right? It's just how things are. So, we know what ruts can do. It can just kind of stalemate. And we don't want to be stalemated. We've been discussing about the Great Commission and growing and going into all the world and making disciples, and we want to be used by God, and we want to reach this valley for Christ, and we want to plant other churches, and we have a big vision, right? We want to establish multi-generational families and put these pieces, this biblical worldview, into practice, right? All scripture for all life. We have a big vision. And a big vision takes big faith, and that big faith takes a lot of love. So we are discussing, should we meet at 3? Should we meet at 10? Which is best? And we've been praying about this. So I thought it was wonderful that at our meeting, really what surfaced was what has hindered our growth is our lack of love for one another. Our lack of love. And it was a great discussion on that. I think it was, for all the men that were there, the takeaway was very clear. We need to love one another. And we have not loved one another as we say we do. Which makes us what? Hypocrites. Right. That makes us hypocrites. When we're not loving like we say we do. So, what's the number one reason why young people leave the church? Hypocrisy. Right. Bessie's watching one of the videos now on that. I know my voice. I listen to it a lot. Hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. We preach, but we don't practice. We say, but we don't do. And I don't think anybody here that I know is a hardened hypocrite, meaning we're just like, but it ruts in. And it is hypocrisy to do that. So we had a wonderful discussion and confession and talking through what it means to be in the body, what it means to love one another. So I want to follow that up. Romans 12:9 is a great verse. Let love be without hypocrisy. Romans 12:9. We'll get into Romans a little bit. Romans 12. But what I want to impress is, let us love one another with no excuses. love without excuse. Because we make excuses. I make excuses for not loving. So that's where we're going to go this afternoon. And then we're going to respond by faith to the word and prayer and discussion. So I'm giving this challenge to the church. Now, we just finished the book of Galatians, didn't we? We've been talking about worship. Our theme is worship this whole year. What is worship? We've been looking specifically at, through the book of Galatians, dealing with legalism. So we just ended Galatians talking about legalism, which destroys worship. So, you know the importance of faith. You know what the importance of faith is. So, Titus 1, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So the church is the elect of God. I'm addressing God's elect with the purpose of strengthening your faith. Okay, the goal of preaching is to encourage faith and application by communicating truth. So, Paul wrote Titus to God's elect with the purpose that their knowledge of the truth would lead them into godliness. That's Titus 1:1. That the knowledge of truth would lead them, would direct them into godliness. So this message is for you, that we would be strengthened by God because we believe the gospel. Not for legalism. Not for the hope of salvation. Because we have the hope of salvation through Christ. Right? Christ alone. So why do we need the church? Because that's the context by which we walk out our faith. This is the body of Christ. We don't need each other as we need Christ. That's worshiping God alone. We're not codependent. We're not independent. Because that's not God's design. We won't make it. We're made to be in the body. Christ put us in the body to walk out our faith. Titus is written to the elect of God who have this faith that by truth they may grow in godliness. So I'm exhorting us now in godliness to love one another. I want to stir us up to love and good works. What the Holy Spirit brought to us on Friday, we will need to continue in our life and in the practice of our church. So that's the spirit at which I come, thinking from Galatians, thinking from not legalism, but let all things be done out of faith, love one another. Think through Galatians. Think how the Word of God unpacks these messages. Now, if you don't have faith, it's not going to work, is it? This is no excuses. There's no excuse why we ought not love one another, right? We want to have no excuses. There is one thing that will keep you from loving that is legitimate, and that's if you don't believe. The answer is to believe. I would say believe. Repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Be saved. But I'm addressing this to those who are saved, who are claiming salvation, who understand something of grace and Christ crucified for them. So, first point, no more invisible people. So in the church, we should have no more invisible people. One brother on Friday night, we have three examples for this. One brother at Friday night stated he's been coming to this church for years, and there are those who have not come up to him and introduced themselves to him or his wife and children. He said, it seems like sometimes we're invisible. And he said it with a very good spirit, because he followed up with this. He said that he went on to confess that he too is guilty of not reaching out and loving others as he ought. So he wasn't like saying, hey, you're not, he's not saying you guys aren't doing this. He says, well, I'm not doing it either, which was a good spirit, right? And it was a good spirit on Friday night. So, but the fact is, he probably is right. There's people that have been coming here for years, and we're not, we, meaning however that works out with you, us, we're not reaching out. We get into a rut. We have our go-to friends. Oh, hi, right? And certain people become invisible to us. You know, that's a big difference between a... I remember when we first started, we were all visitors. And that was kind of cool, right? When you're starting a church, we're all visitors. There's no ruts. We're all like, hi. But now, you know, 15 years later, we do have some deep... There are deep friendships here, which is good, right? We should have deep friendships after 15 years. We want those roots to go deep. That's a good thing. But we also need to be aware of those who are coming in, that we may reach out and extend love and hospitality. So we this idea of people being invisible is very important. Last week, we had a visiting family stay through to communion to the end of service, so they didn't escape the first time the service was over. and with the exception of maybe two people, really no one interacted with them. So that's another good example. Someone comes in, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, they're invisible. And again, my experience with this church is it kind of sometimes it, people are like, sometimes they get a lot of attention. It just depends. It's kind of an ebb and flow. It's not consistent. So another example was one brother stated that when people come and talk with him, it would be good if they also would interact with the new person that is with him in this church. So those are three examples right here that happens. Now why does this happen? And one word that kept coming up is, you know, we get distracted. And that's probably accurate, right? We get distracted. We get distracted by what? Well, all kinds of things. All kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons. We make excuses. Paul said in Philippians 2:19, he gave a reason why this happens. Philippians 2:19 and 21, he said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that also I may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." So you say, I'm going to send Timothy because I don't have anyone else who's going to care for your state, care for who you are. And he gave the reason, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." So this is the church. This is the church in Paul's day. Okay. So in Paul's day, which is a early church, that's about as early as you can get, right? In Paul's day, the problem was there wasn't that many people of the church, of the Christians that he knew, that he could send to care for the state of others. Why? Because everybody was wrapped up in themselves. So what keeps us from caring for others? Being wrapped up in ourselves. That's a very good reason. I mean, it's a very clear reason. It's not a good reason. It's a very common reason. Is that a good excuse? Do you think that's a good excuse? But we all have problems. We all have issues. And we all have burdens. And we do. We talked about ruts. We talked about burdens. We all have burdens we bear. But that goes back to the gospel too, doesn't it? And how in community we bear one another's burdens. Let me illustrate the invisible visitor this way. Remember, it takes a lot of courage to walk into a new place and find a circle of new friends. Her heart pounded as she walked into the church. Olivia was a new time visitor to this church. Many, many Christian themes looked comforting to her, but her stomach flip-flopped as she walked through the door. Today, she would be a visitor. Olivia sank into the chair farthest from the door with her family. She enjoyed everything about her family's winter visit to see extended family, except she had to be a visitor. singing great hymns of the faith, and hearing God's word preached were very important to her, but she didn't like sitting alone with her family, not knowing anyone. Olivia also did not like listening to other families talk and laugh together while no one even looked at her. To her, it felt like no one cared if she came or not. It was like being invisible. Olivia, the amazing invisible visitor. Perhaps things would change over time, she thought. Her husband encouraged her to keep trying, reminding her that they would only be here for several months before going home. With a few notable exceptions, however, Olivia's experience remained the same. She wished she was back home with her own church family and with her own friends. Maybe this time will be different, she told herself as she adjusted her glasses and smoothed her skirt one more time. Maybe if I try really hard, I can make a difference. Olivia jumped as the door opened. Three ladies walked toward her, walking excitedly. Olivia took a quick breath and forced her mouth to smile. Hi, she burst out. Suddenly, everyone's eyes were on her. Olivia's face got hot. Hi, mumbled one of the ladies. Are you new? Another lady asked. Olivia cleared her throat. No, I'm just visiting my family here. Oh, okay. Olivia's smile faded when she realized that that was the end of the interaction. She stared at her hands. The amazing invisible visitor strikes again, she thought. What is wrong with me? Several months later, Olivia's heart seemed to float as she went to church. It was so good to be back home. When she walked into her assembly, there was her best friend. Hi, Olivia, I'm so glad you're back, Amy said. Olivia sat down next to Amy. Soon they were laughing and talking. Olivia had just started to tell Amy all about her trip when a new family approached in the doorway. Olivia watched the family slip in and sit by themselves. They must be visitors, Olivia thought. I'm glad it's not me this time. The wife raised her eyes to look around and then stared down at her hands. Olivia's heart twisted as no one said a word to the visitors. I wish being a visitor didn't have to be so hard, she thought. It should be different. Last Sunday flashed through her mind for a moment as she remembered being the sad, invisible visitor. Then she blinked and thought, wait a minute. She could make a difference this time. Olivia stood up. Hi, she said with a smile. She crossed the church and sat down in the chair next to the woman. Are you visiting today? The woman looked up with wide eyes, and her face lifted up. Yes, I'm visiting my aunt. Are you visiting too? Olivia shook her head. No, but I know how hard it is, she explained. I'm Olivia. What's your name? Mary. Want to come sit over with us? With Mary? With Amy and myself? Mary grinned and nodded. As the two women moved back across the room, she thought, no invisible visitors allowed. Not if I can help it. I think you get the point of the story. Jesus said, we're to welcome one another as he has welcomed us. It's a pretty powerful verse. We are to greet one another. 1 Peter 5:14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, we may not do the kiss. Mrs. Kostagian, maybe. Mrs. Senior Kostagian. Mrs. Kostagian from Armenia. I do kiss her with a kiss of love. But love. With a greeting of love. A handshake of love. This is very important. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one accord and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us. That word received could be welcome. Welcome one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So the way we welcome one another, the way we go out of our way to greet one another, is a reflection of our faith in God. Why should we welcome one another? And that would be visitors coming in, no more invisible visitors. That should be with one another. People that have been here for a year, 2 years, 15 years. That would look like, hi, how are you doing? Good, how are you? What's going on in your life? Back and forth. That's an example of love. And it says, love one another. One another is back and forth, right? It's getting information, sharing information. That's relationship building. It's communication. Again, it's pretty basic, but it's basically impossible to grow in God's grace if we're not loving one another, not welcoming one another. Amen? And on Friday, we talked about, we're dropping the ball here. At our church, we're dropping the ball. And we're specifically talking about us as men dropping the ball. And we're talking about noticing that the women drop the ball. Because we get focused on, for whatever reason. And the reason doesn't really matter. If we have faith, what do we need to do? Love one another. What does love do? Initiates relationship. With who? With everybody. In the body of Christ, it's to be reciprocal. Okay? What if someone doesn't reciprocate? Then there's a problem, isn't there? If I go up to you, if I go up to Matt, and I start talking to him, and Matt says, I don't want to talk to you, there's a problem there. If Matt just puts his eyes down, or if, you know, and if, you know, we have technology, you know, if we wall off, there's a problem there. Right, Matt? And I say, Matt, what's wrong? And then he tells me. And I say, Matt, thanks for telling me. Then we can love one another. And then all the one another's come into play, don't they? But it starts with welcoming. A welcoming disposition to invite people into our lives so that we can show them the love of Christ through us. This is how they will know that we are his disciples. So this is how our world knows we are disciples, as we love each other. What is the most visible first step in that? Welcoming. They want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. That's the body of Christ. I know your name, and I'm glad you came. Thanks for showing up today. Welcome. Welcome. So, very important point, and that will root out the hypocrisy. If we all do this together, again, who's responsible to this? Those who have faith. How do we do this? Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So this welcoming, pursuing others is a byproduct of following Jesus. So for following Jesus, what does he make us? A fisher of men, a pursuer of men. Right? If we're not following Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to get in a rut and be concerned with ourselves. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? Philippians 2. Don't merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. So as we gather together and we spend hours together, one of the most important things we do is build community by loving each other through effective communication, welcoming, bearing one another's burdens. Our children, learning to play together, learning to have relationships together as we keep an eye on them and direct them, right? That's community building stuff. And we have stepped away from that application as a church. So we're confessing our hypocrisy. Amen. This is freedom. This is liberty. It's liberty. It's bondage to not love, right? That's bondage. And it's just kind of, and we all have our reasons and we all have our excuses. What do we need to do with our reasons and excuses for not loving? repent, reject, and walk by faith. Yeah, no excuses. There's no excuse for not loving each other. But there's still, but sometimes people are unloving. Okay? How are we supposed to love as Christ loved us? Do we always love Christ perfectly? So it all goes back to the gospel. It all goes back to our faith in the gospel. And because we have such a problem with hypocrisy, our culture's in apostasy, right? Our culture's apostatizing. It's normal within Christianity to hear the preaching and make no application. That's normal Christianity in the West. So we're all bombarded with images of, it's okay, we can do this anyway. So it's great. It was very refreshing. Friday night, it's not okay. It's a self-correction. The Holy Spirit put that on our heart. It's not okay not to love each other. It's not okay to treat each other as if we're invisible, or certain people are invisible, or whatever. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes people would say, well, you didn't notice me. Well, sometimes it happens, and people have told me that. I apologize. I have no ought against you. but I'm glad you came to me. Thank you for sharing that. I want to know that so that we can love one another. Because if I don't know that, right? Or maybe actually I was trying to avoid you because, you know, we got some conflict. You ready to deal with it yet? Let's go. There's all these different scenarios. Jesus said, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The church is a reflection of Jesus Christ and his love for us. What does that look like? It looks like loving one another. Jesus gave us a very important parable in Luke 10:29. This is a great parable for excuses. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and we saw him. He passed by on the road. To him, the man was invisible. Right? Now, do you think that priest had an excuse? I'm sure he had a reason. What do you think his reason is? I don't have time. I don't want to be unclean. I don't want to get involved. It's not my responsibility. I'll call 911. Right? He had an excuse. Was it a good one? Was it a good excuse? Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. I'm not getting involved in that. I could see the guy needs help, but I'm not getting involved. I can see you need help. Right? So we go throughout the body. I can see you might need help, but I just do this. I have other things to do. I got problems on my own. I can see you have problems. Hi, how you doing? Fine, good. Yeah. Hi, how you doing? How are you doing? You have any problems? Good. Go tell someone else. Right? Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. and we can do that. We can kind of dodge these things, right? Keep it superficial, like the Levite. What if you're like the man who's beat up? Sometimes you come to church and you might be the person who's beat up. Just laying there all bloody. You know, that's part of loving one another. You do need people that have needs to make those who have gifts to meet those needs, right? That's part of one anothering. So I might come with a need, you might come with a need, and you need to be vulnerable with that need. I'm really having a hard time right now. I got beat up this week, all my money was stolen, my leg's broken. It all might be spiritual. It all might be emotional. Right? Physical is sometimes easier to deal with, isn't it? I can see you're bleeding, right? Here, make a tourniquet for the guy. Get the blood. Didn't get the carpet all bloody. They just cleaned the carpet. But what if it's a spiritual? It's good to come. and make your needs known. But that's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is those who are the most unlikely sometimes are the most loving. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. What do the others lack? Why don't we love each other? We don't have love. Why didn't the other two do anything? They lacked compassion. He had compassion, and because he had compassion, it moved him to go, bandage his wound, pour oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? That's Jesus' point, to get them to think of their hypocrisy. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus says, good, you know what this means. It's not a problem of not knowing. Everybody here knows what it means to love one another. Right? Nothing new. I'm giving you nothing new. We all know what it means. They knew what it meant. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, they knew. They weren't connecting it. Go do likewise. Go do likewise. So what's your excuse? How are you going to overcome your excuse that we may love one another? Next point, be hospitable to one another. This is Romans 12. Romans 12 talks about that renewed mind and that hospitality command is embedded in that chapter. And there was a lot of good discussion on hospitality on Friday night. The conversation just naturally flowed to being hospitable to one another, life on life, living life together, sharing our hearts together in love, right? And so, hospitality is in the context of a renewed mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renew your mind because of what? The gospel. Romans 1 to 11. Think about how Paul develops Romans. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, because these mercies that God has given you, renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that look like? Functioning in the body of Christ. So we're justified by faith in Christ alone. That moves us to a renewed mind. And that places us where to walk out our sanctification in the body of Christ. You cannot walk out your sanctification without the body of Christ. How can you love one another when you're not with others? It's kind of, right? You can't. Well, it's easier that way. And all people are his problems. Yeah, that's why they need love. Love people with problems. They have needs. Meet their needs. That's what it means to love someone. That's why Paul talks about the spiritual gifts of the church. Use them. Serve in this way. He who exhorts. He who gives. He who shows mercy. He who leads. Right? Then he has the verse that we've been talking about. 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. And that verse got me. I will confess, over the 15 years, you have hopes of loving one another, and then it's really cool when it happens, and it's really a downer when it doesn't. So, for me, it was really encouraging on Friday to just open it up and talk about it, because I was struggling with the discouragement of not having us love each other. And that takes away my affection for it. So I confess that. That's not good. So I confess that. And God has really encouraged me that we need to love one another. And don't be Don't be discouraged by the hypocrites who won't do it. Not all have faith. Those who have faith love one another. How can you say you love God if you don't love your brother? You can't, because you're not. Let's not be deceived here, right? How do we know we know him? We keep his commandments. 1 John makes it very clear, you love your brother. So there's a one-to-one relationship. What does that look like? Hi, how are you? Greeting. And the welcome does not end. It's the greeting that continues, okay? Continues on into heaven. All right? And that's the witness to the world. Wow, these people really love each other. They're all different. They come from different walks and different places in their lives, but they join together in Christ. And we welcome each other, and that welcome carries on in this world to eternity. That's the church. That's the new humanity. That's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And whatever takes that away is what destroys your relationship, not just with the people, but with God. Because God says the first greatest commandment is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. You can't have one. You're deceiving yourself if you think you're loving God and not loving others. So it is. Let love be without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. That's given by the Holy Spirit for us to walk out our life. That's what a Christian life looks like. What does the Christian life look like? It looks like Romans 12. What motivates the Christian life? Romans 1 to 11. Justification by grace. Gospel-centered sanctification. Romans chapter 6, 7, 8. I mean, we just went all through that through Galatians. How does that translate into this now? So think, we go through Galatians, we deal with legalism, talking about hypocrisy. God convicts us on Friday night of our lack of love for one another because we're hypocrites. Now we get refreshed to learn to love each other. That's where we're going. Why is our church not growing? We're not loving. That's the big takeaway. It doesn't matter at what time we meet, 10 or 3. I mean, in comparison, it does matter. But in comparison to that, right? In comparison to that, that's like, right? Mint and cumin. I need to. You're neglecting the weightier matters of the law, like love and justice and mercy, right? These are weightier matters. Very weighty. Very weighty. God values the way you treat others, because it's a reflection of how you're relating to Him. Welcome. I believe in the gospel, so I welcome you. Relationships start in our spirit. You know that. This is just a physical container. They start in our spirit. A bitter spirit, right? You can kind of make it look better. Right? Your body can be tired, but you can still be welcoming. You can be. Renewed in Christ. Now, if you're not renewed in Christ, let's be renewed in Christ. This is the church. Let the church be the church. Let us be hospitable to one another. I was convicted on the hospitality talk on Friday night, and I talked to Lisa, and, you know, we used to open up our home once a month for the whole church family to come over. And since my son got ill, we haven't done that. We don't do it as much in the summer. And I think that's a good excuse. No one wants to be outside when it's 120 degrees out. That's given, right? But, wait, now, beautiful weather for 8 or 9 months. And so that's, we understand that. But I was thinking, well, I have an excuse. I have a difficulty. My son is very ill. And I was thinking about that. You know, that's not a good excuse. The scripture says that a bishop, New King James, overseer, 1 Timothy 3, must be hospitable. Hospitable and able to teach. They're right together. Which is more important? They're both important. And they're both essential to the church. What if I can't? Well, I can no longer preach because my son is sick. You wouldn't really want me to be your pastor, would you? What kind of excuse? So I confess that's not a good excuse. And I've not been a good example. So you're all invited to come to my house next Friday. Now, obviously, and you are. Now, obviously, if Alex is having a really hard night and we're in the hospital, I have to call it off. But that'll be at the last minute. If he's having a hard time, and you will understand that. And that might happen. It's been very difficult. It's been a very difficult trial for my family and I. And you know that. We're in a great, great trial. And I appreciate your patience. However, that trial is not an excuse for me not to show hospitality. And I was brought back to remembering my time when I was in the Ukraine. Those brothers and sisters showed hospitality. And I was younger then. I was 20. How old was I? 22. And I didn't, I have had more fellowship and hospitality in this church than anywhere I've ever been in my life. So praise God. Hallelujah. I'm very thankful for this church. So I wasn't accustomed to that. And we would go there and they would bring us, come over to my house. And they shared hospitality with one another all the time. And I would go to their homes and their homes were like trashed. And I would like be embarrassed. I'm like, I can't believe you're asking me to go in your home. And your home is like really trashed, like mounds of junk. and they'd have to like scurry around so they'd have a place to sit. But they still had us over. And I remembered that they valued relationships more than how they looked. They valued relationships more than this materialistic mindsetted kid coming from America into their part of the world. It was more important for them that they had a relationship with me and shared some hospitality than that everything looked perfect in their house. And I was convicted of that. We have all kind of excuses. I can't have people over because. Da 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 da. And hospitality can be it's a spirit of hospitality. It can go a lot of different ways, right? It can go, it's a spirit of love, and I welcome you into my heart and mind, into my life, life on life, family on family, right? And that's what we need to pursue. So, I have no excuse not to pursue hospitality. It's as important as preaching for an elder. And if I want to stay qualified and be effective here, I need to show regular hospitality. Will it be challenging in my circumstance? Yes. Well, as my wife and I have discussed, it's our faith response to God. So we need to do that. Be hospitable to one another. Love one another. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know what this means. Would you like someone to treat you as if you're invisible? Then don't do it to them. How would you want someone to treat you? The gospel calls us to deny ourselves, doesn't it? If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What does the church consist of? Individuals who are not self-motivated, but Christ-motivated. What does that look like? It looks like an ethic of love. That's why the church is so vital, that we love one another, because that encourages our faith. Loving one another, then, is a responsibility that we have. People come into a community and they want, this is how we read it. As Americans, we are individuals. We think in terms of individualism. Individualism is the idea that the individual is more important than the community. It's the air that we breathe, and we all believe it. Way more than they do in, like, where I was in Romania, in Ukraine, and other parts of the country, world. So we are individualists. We think in terms of my needs, my wants. The songs we sing are so individualistic, right? And we're very accustomed to placing our needs above that of the community. And that's why, in our history, people can come and they like the church and we have great relationships. But, you know, maybe they want to just leave. And I've heard many people say this. They say, oh, that's okay, we found another church. Well, good. Bye. And they don't even consider the ramifications of the community. Right? We are a covenant community. That's what a church is. Well, what if I said to my wife, hey, honey, you know, it's been great knowing you, but I found another woman. Bye. It's okay. And she's upset and crying. And it's going to, yeah, I know we'll miss each other, but guess what? I found another girl. It's okay. And you can find another guy. Do you think that's okay? It's okay. I found someone else. That's disgusting. That's how we treat commitments. It's okay. I found someone else. Right? What I'm saying is we're to treat our commitments seriously. We're a covenant community. We're to have deep, affectionate love for each other. It's not okay if we just don't love each other. It's not okay if I just decide not to love my wife. I'm an individual. I can do what I want. No. We're placed in a body. We have to consider one another. That's a spiritual requirement. What I do affects you, and what you do affects me. That's how it's supposed to be. Then we grow up in maturity and wisdom, and we live in community. Well, they shouldn't feel that way. I'll just do what I want. How easy is that in our culture? Very easy. That's the mindset that we have as we come into the church. People come into the assembly, they come into the community, and they want all the benefits of the community without the responsibility. They want the benefits. Oh, people should love me, but I don't have to love them. Have you ever been tempted to think that way? Okay? Love one another means this. It looks like this. You invite someone over for dinner. They have a responsibility in the community to invite you back. Do you think so? Why? That's love one another. And if you can't or you're not, talk about it with them. You're right? That's love one another. I'd like to get to know you. Come over to my house for dinner. I mean, it's very practical because we're missing the practical. We're theorizing, oh, I love everybody. But we can take individualism and make it familyism in our church. So we repent. And I used to talk a lot about individualism when we first started. And individualism can turn to familyism. So now we're not individuals, which is better. It's better to be familyism. Familyism is better than individual. We got to put the family back together. But the families exist in community. So it's not just my family is an island. What's best for my family? What's best for the community? What's best for my family in the community? And that's to love one another. That builds community. That's concern for one another. I could use your help here. Someone's moving. We have a responsibility to help them. That's submit one to another. If you know someone has a need and you have the ability to meet it, what should you do? Seek to meet it. These are practical outworkings of love. Would you agree or disagree? And I'm picking on the hospitality because a lot of people have said, you know, I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 people over and no one invited me back. And then that person gets discouraged. Do you think they should be discouraged? Well, you should just do it for Jesus. And that's true. But I'll tell you this. On Friday, when we're confessing our lack of love, if a family here has 8 people over and it's been a year and no one invites them back, guess what? We have a problem. See, that's different. That individual should do it for Jesus without expecting anything in return. That's correct. But it is unjust. It's unjust for someone to pour their life out for others in the church and no one loved them back. That's not right. It's not right thinking. And it's passing the buck to say it's on you. That's how I read love one another. Now, you can talk to the person. You know, just communicate, talk, share, love. Be involved. I don't know if I like that. This is community life. This is community life. We're not meant to be alone. So, in closing, let's love one another. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without excuses. Let us build upon the confession of Friday night at our men's meeting and continue to walk this out as men, as women, and as families. This isn't just for the men to love one another. This isn't just for the women. It's for both. It's for all, right? Sisters are to love sisters. Brothers are to love brothers. We're to walk together as households. This is liberty. Love brings liberty. Galatians 5. Don't use your liberty as a what? As license to sin. But use it to serve one another. That's where Paul takes it. And that's where we're missing it. But we can make this course correction, can't we? We can make this course correction and love God and love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for guiding your church. Teach us to respond by faith to you. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.